Portland is fortunate to have one of the finest youth orchestras in the country, the Portland Youth Philharmonic, which will be opening its 95th season on November 10th. Yes, that's 95 with an exclamation point. A remarkable achievement, and a credit to the quality of the musicians and musical directors over that long period of time. And KBOO is fortunate to have PYP's current musical director, David Hattner, with us now to talk about the orchestra and the upcoming season. David, thanks for coming into KBOO today.
Great to be back, Ken.
David, as mentioned, the Portland Youth Philharmonic is entering its 95th season, and you're now going on 11 years as musical director. How do you balance your role as caretaker for that incredible tradition and yet someone tasked with moving the orchestra forward?
Well, the first thing, when I came here, I wanted to know the history before I started conducting on day one. So I learned as much as I could from reading books about the orchestra and meeting the longest-serving musical director, Jacob Avshalomov, who was still living. He had just about turned 90 years old when I moved here.
Mr. A.
Yes, and his steel trap memory was a great resource to me, as well as artifacts that he kept in his home and many other things. But we spent many hours together going over some of the highlights that he felt of his experience, both as a player in the orchestra under the original musical director, Jacques Gershkovich, who is a Russian immigrant, and his many years growing the organization into the modern era. And all of that was a good preparation to get to work with the musicians. And currently, the important thing is to respect the tradition, especially in terms of keeping the quality of the music making, while steering the repertoire into areas that interest me that I think are important for them to know, in addition to the standard works that we also play all the time.
And that's a good transition into my next question, which is about the upcoming season. Opens November 10th. Program includes one work that wasn't around when PYP formed in 1924, and that's The Far West, a movement from William Grant Still's The American Scene. I wasn't aware of Still when before prepping for the interview, but it's a fascinating story and one that should be more widely known. Can you tell us a little bit about him, the composer William Grant Still?
Well, William Grant Still was a pioneering African-American composer. His most important works are in the classical realm. He wrote 8 operas. He wrote 5 symphonies and many other works, chamber music, songs. And he also worked in the jazz world. He worked for W.C. Handy. He did orchestrations for many of the band leaders of the big band era, particularly when they wanted to integrate strings into their ensembles at times. This is something Artie Shaw did a number of times, and he consulted with and used William Grant Still to help him. And he really cataloged in many ways his experience as an African-American through the music he wrote. His Symphony No. 1, The Afro-American, is sort of a story about the progress of his race. And the second symphony, which is called The Song of a New Race, is really more about the Harlem Renaissance and what was happening right now.
And he was friends with a lot of those people, like Langston Hughes.
Sure. He wrote an opera with Langston Hughes, in fact. He knew everyone involved in the Harlem Renaissance and was known by everyone in the community, both in New York and L.A., where he also lived. And obviously was widely traveled, because in the 1950s, this part of an educational project, he composed 5 suites for orchestra, which he called The American Scene. And we'll be playing the one called The Far West, which talks about Los Angeles, the plaza, and the desert in Sundown Land, and Navajo country.
I should mention he was called the Dean of African American composers, and he lived from 1895 to 1978, so quite a long career. Mm-hmm. I wonder why is he so obscure to someone like me? I guess that talks to my ignorance.
Neglect is the answer. Uh-huh. Lack of true champions, because not only have African Americans been generally marginalized in many areas, but in the arts that's been particularly true. There have been very few African American conductors. He was a pioneer in that department as well, to program his works. And in general, American composers have struggled to be heard in America regardless of their race. So he had many disadvantages. Also, his musical language, which is distinctly his, is very simple, while the technique into putting it out is very sophisticated. I think that some people have been concerned, perhaps, that the seeming simplicity of his music speaks to something that's missing from it. But I think it's actually the thing that makes it great, is that he's so true to himself in his music. And it's very apparent in this work that we're playing.
And in this work in particular, and some of the other pieces you mentioned, like his symphonies, he explores, celebrates multiculturalism in the U.S. It seems to be a very appropriate work for our current time.
I think so. Interestingly, of all the regions of the country he documented in these suites, the Northwest was not featured. I think compared to other parts of the country, he may have found the Northwest not hospitable enough to visit and get to know.
And Oregon has a long history of non-hospitality, I shouldn't put it.
Yeah, it certainly does. And the fact that the Portland Youth Philharmonic is playing its first notes of William Grant Still's music on this concert, hasn't played any previously, is perhaps a sign of that.
Now, you're pairing Still's The Far West with an older work and one more widely known, that's Dvorak's Sixth Symphony. And I read that there's a very good reason why you picked that, to play those two together, based on Dvorak visiting the U.S.?
Well, Dvorak is really the godfather of American music, and not just American classical music, but really all of American music. He was perhaps the greatest musician ever to visit the country. It's easy to lose sight in America, where we don't hear as much of Dvorak's complete body of works as they play in his home country of the Czech Republic or the larger Bohemian areas, how much and how great his material was. Now, Dvorak also was a leader in what became known as musical nationalism, where the source material for the compositions come really from the soil. Many composers, like Tchaikovsky, used folk music, even in his most famous symphonies. Dvorak did very little of that. He actually composed music that sounds like folk music, but was all original in the notes. So when he came to America, in addition to just teaching composition and surveying the scene, part of his mission, he felt, was to find out, what is American music going to be when it grows up? Because in the late 1800s, what was being written was really European-style music with European-style themes, because many of the composers who were active studied in Europe. They studied in Germany, they studied in France. And Dvorak wanted to hear something that didn't sound like that. He wanted to hear something that sounded like America. So he had to find out what that was. So he traveled beyond the East Coast and got as far west as Iowa and Minnesota and went around and listened to everything he could hear. And before he left, he told everyone who would listen that American music will really happen when people absorb the music of the culture. And he's found that the only original sounding music here was Native Americans and the freed slaves.
And he was pre-jazz, of course.
Right. There was not, there was nothing that was exactly jazz yet. Right. So when those very musics became the source of American music, which is really what jazz is, then American music became the most popular music in the world and remains so to this day. It just took over. And so composers of classical music here and in Europe also absorb these jazz elements, true American elements, into their music. And so he put his finger on what was to come. He saw the future.
A great composer and a great visionary in that.
Really, one of the greatest composers. And yes, I mean, he wrote the Symphony from the New World, which has some vaguely Native American sounding things in it. But he was truly a Czech composer. But so important to the history of this country in so many ways.
Now, David, in addition to Dvorak's Sixth Symphony and William Grant Still's The Far West, you have one more piece on the program. This is the first movement of Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto, and it features a very special violinist. Can you tell us about him?
Aaron Green is a senior from Washington, and he has been in our particular orchestra for 5 years, and he's been in our organization, I believe, for 9 years. So he's been around nearly as long as I have. Aaron is an accomplished musician, and he's also accomplished in academics and many other areas. And he was the winner of our soloist competition. This is the competition for shorter works. And so he's going to play the first movement of this very famous and much beloved violin concerto by Tchaikovsky. Many people may be coming to this concert just to hear this piece because everyone just loves it so much, which is perhaps a little ironic because when the piece was brand new, it was bashed by the critics in Vienna. They really detested it. And
that seems to be true of a lot of great music, isn't it?
It is. It's sometimes just hard to hear what's in there when you're just trying to absorb a piece for the first time. But over time, it's been championed by every great violinist and beloved by audiences, and they embrace it every time they hear it. So it'll be great to hear a young soloist who's fresh to it with the orchestra who is accompanying him so beautifully in it.
What an incredible program. Can you tell our listeners how to find out more about PYP and get tickets for the show if they'd like?
Yes, they should go to our website, which is Portland Youth Phil, that's P-H-I-L, phil.org, and they can go directly to the ticket page and select their seats in the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall and purchase them there. We have no ticket fees whatsoever, so you pay exactly what we ask, which is actually a very low price for an orchestra concert.
I'm not allowed to say, actually, according to FCC regulations, but I got to say it's probably the very best value in town for classical music.
Right. Classical music tends to be expensive, but we want to be the people's orchestra because these are really the locally produced musicians. This is Portland's and the Portland area's orchestra. These musicians grow up here, they study here, and they represent the very best of what this community can produce.
Now, David, before we go, and I know I've mentioned this every time we've talked since then, you conducted a concert last January. It was called Voices of Light, in which the musicians and vocalists performed a live projection of Carl Dreyer's silent film, The Passion of Joan of Arc. And it was one of the most moving experiences I've ever had in a concert hall or any theater, for that matter. And I haven't talked to anyone who was there who would disagree with that. Are there any plans to bring that back? I know it was quite a difficult endeavor to pull off and a challenge, but what a result.
Well, we've been asked that quite a few times, and I think it's one of those things that we'll have to cycle back to at some point unless someone else picks it up and does it. We tend not to repeat things during the tenure of current musicians in the orchestra so they don't repeat things themselves. So it's probably at least 5 years out from coming back. And that's probably enough time so that it doesn't feel stale coming back. I mean, it had that, you know, that one night only feeling about it. That was one of the things that made it great, is the people in the hall were like, well, that's a good thing I came tonight, because it was pretty full in there. And it just felt like everyone was really having the same experience at the same time. I doubt very many people had seen even the film itself without the music before. So that was just very special. But we are looking to produce some other grand events. It's just they take time to plan, that you have to get the funding in place and get the right project that feels right for our particular orchestra and our community. But stay tuned, because we're hoping by the end of next season to have something really special to present.
Well, I look forward to that. Well, David, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks so much for joining us at KBOO today.
Yeah, great to be back.
We've been talking with David Hattner, musical director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. PYP will be opening its 95th season on Saturday, November 10th, at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. The performance starts at 7:30 p.m. For concert details and tickets, you can check out their website, portlandyouthphil.org. I'm Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.